Tonight on TMSPM. Thanks, Dave.
Margot Robbie thought she was done.
Sasha has a regular job.
Ozzy and his side lady. It's a no from me.
How hot is your soup hat?
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the Morning Stream PM, because it's always morning somewhere.
TMS PM.
My volumes are off on everything, but I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. Hey, are you guys ready to receive our limp TMS PM show? Here it is. It's at 3 o'clock PM Mountain Time, and it's time to do that. Thanks to you at patreon.com/TMS. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Were we not just here?
We were, yes, just here.
All right. We're getting the Yoda thing down pretty well. Working on it. Getting better and better. Hey, did you see the news that they're working on a Star Wars TV show for real this time? Not just joking around?
Is this the live action one that was going to be like an hour long?
Yeah, like a drama?
Yeah, I have not heard that this will actually really happen again.
Well, supposedly, and I don't know if we can confirm this at this point, but Disney is in talks with Lucasfilm and ABC, whichever one they own. Mm. And they're talking seriously about episodic Star Wars-based television. And I had a quick thought about it. Somebody on Twitter, you know Twitter, the service Twitter?
You can always follow me on.
Mm-hmm. That's dot, the one. Dot, dot. That's the one. Somebody had said to me, I don't know if I want this. It sounds like it will be watered down. And I think what they mean is they still think TV's worse than movies.
Right.
I hate to be the guy.
Breaking Bad. They have not watched Stranger Things. They have not watched. I mean, there's a billion things we can point to that.
They haven't watched straight up TV in years, is what I'm saying. Because this
Game of Thrones.
Gone are the days where the good stuff was in theaters and you went home to watch David Banner as the Incredible Hulk or whatever. You know, Knight Rider was stupid because it was TV. A-Team was stupid and it was on TV. Movies you reserved for the big end stuff. That's all flipped now.
Right. Like, I would say, all right, and I know somebody's going to prove me wrong and I'm inviting that. I hope somebody can tell me, point to great examples, but network television, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. Mm-hmm. I would not be happy with a Star Wars series that's on one of those four networks, but hearing it is on AMC, FX, Netflix, HBO, Showtime.
Well, you're
I'd
out of luck.
I'd be excited about that.
You're out of luck because
because it's going to be ABC because it's Disney, right?
Yeah, because Disney owns it. They're going to stick it where their money is, and I'm guessing that's
so.
Where they put
the
it.
Person who said that, could you not argue the side saying Daredevil versus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Which one feels watered down to you?
You're right. You're totally right. If that's what they mean, they said something about effects and stuff, and my point was, Disney has all the money in the world and they can do whatever they want that money and they could kind of go crazy with it. And also Star Wars just isn't we're not looking for an edgy Star Wars here necessarily.
Right.
Like it's kind of made for mainstream audiences in a way that other movie franchises coming to TV might not be. So Daredevil's best suited for where it is. But I would argue maybe Star Wars is best suited for a mainstream primetime, happy American audience. So I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are you looking for more grit in your Star Wars, Brian? Is that what you're asking for?
I don't want more grit, but I feel like Game of Thrones. Let's use Game of Thrones as an example.
All right. Wholesome quality family entertainment.
If you take out the nudity and you take out the people getting their heads taken off or whatever,
let's call
you're
that
still
violence.
Left
sure.
with incredible storylines. You're still left with great special effects, great acting. Mm-hmm. And I worry that,
why wouldn't we get that?
Huh?
Why don't you think we'd get that without those two things?
Because I'm trying to find an equal example on network television. I can't.
It's hard to, right?
There really is.
It is actually hard to, because network TV is not have a good reputation of late. But I would argue, like, NBC had that Hannibal show, and that was crazy dark. Like,
Free Rangers brought that one up. Yeah.
If you watched that, you were almost like watching FX or some other channel. You'd forget you're on NBC. And to the discredit of the network, they've canceled that, even though it had a rabid following, and it probably wouldn't have been canceled on some other cable channel. So that's the other worry, is these network channels tend to cancel everything all the time.
Sure.
But that's the only thing, it's the only one I can think of.
TV adaptations of movies.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, they try to have just enough stuff to pull in the movie fans, but they, I'm trying to, again, give me some examples here. Hannibal is a good example.
MASH, good example. Although Hannibal's not based on movies, though. Hannibal's based on the books, which are quite different than the movie thing. Yeah, so none of that's supposed to be tied in. But that's okay, because the movies are based on the books, too, so who knows. But another example. Well, it was handled poorly with Minority Report. That had potential, and it just went to poo.
Yeah.
I think it's all down to who writes it and who makes it and who's in charge.
I just don't want my Star Wars to be Terra Nova'd.
Okay, there's a, you know what? Terra Nova is a great example of what we're afraid
Swiss
of.
Family Tatooine.
We're afraid of. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I am with you. You know what I'm thinking here? Prequels feel like network TV to me, as opposed to the regular Star Wars movies, in a way. If you think about it,
the prequels, or you think that they could do well with Star Wars?
No. I'm saying the prequels always felt a little too clean, a little too shiny. Yeah. Everyone's robes look like they just came off of a fabric machine.
Right. And we've, we have to add a bunch of Senate drama.
Yep. 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 Got a Hyde E.T. in there somewhere. It's a big pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
You know what? I will, of course, I'll reserve judgment. I've just,
you've been burned a few times. I understand.
Been burned a few times. Yeah.
I'm optimistic. I feel like of all the properties that we have that we could mess around this way, Star Wars might be one of them. So
yeah.
Anyway, so
Indiana
there's that.
Indiana Jones Chronicles, another example.
That was all right though.
That was all right.
Yeah, that show was good.
Like, yeah, and I mean an example of where it was done right, and it was done right with a Star Wars tangential property.
Sure, it was a George Lucas joint.
Yeah.
So if that worked, why not this? Another good example might be one just came into my head and then left. What was it? Oh, Fargo.
Oh, Fargo is a great example.
But Fargo's not a network show. You're right. And would that thing even be the light of day on ABC, CBS, or NBC? Not a chance. And I'm not even because of the violence or the themes or how dark it gets. That's not even the reason. It's because network TV doesn't want to take any freaking chances. They don't want to spend any money, and they want to make nothing but reality garbage. Mm-hmm. So you're not wrong to be nervous. I'm with you.
Little nervous, but you know what? There's no way that I won't watch it, and there's no way that I won't be excited to try it. I just
isn't CBS or sorry, ABC. I was getting confused again. Yeah. ABC, don't they own a cable channel? One of those cable channels is theirs, right?
Like, got to, right? I mean,
Fox owns FX, NBC owns like and USA, FXX. And yeah, Sci-Fi and a few others are owned by NBC Universal, but I don't know who ABC owns.
I'll tell you.
Okay. That'd be good to know.
ABC owns the Live Well Network.
Hey, perfect fit. Nailed it. Today we look at ways of keeping out of the heat on Tatooine.
Look at what does Disney own, right? Because Disney owns the Disney Channel and...
Sure.
What
are their subsidiary cable networks are owned by...
Freeform.
What the hell's that?
That's a new cable network that I haven't checked out yet.
The Freeform Network?
Yeah.
How much are their forms? They're free.
take a couple of them. Yeah, ABC Family.
Oh, shit.
This is not helping.
This isn't going well. They changed names, though. They're not ABC Family anymore. They're
here we go. A&E.
A&E. Oh, A&E would work.
A&E, yes.
A&E. Not A&E. Andy! That guy broke out of jail again, Andy!
Here you go. Here's a better list. Right. A&E History.
All I can hear is Andy now.
I know.
History
apparently,
Channel.
And apparently Siri heard her name somewhere in this.
No kidding.
Lifetime.
Okay.
LMN.
That's the Leisure Monkey Network.
Which is totally OP.
Yeah.
The Lifetime, get it, LMN.
Yeah, OP. Yeah, get it.
Lifetime Real Women, Lifetime Movie Club, Lifetime Radio Forum, and Lifetime Press, Lifetime Digital. I guess those are not TV networks. ABC, Hulu.
They're part investment.
There we go. ABC Family Worldwide as Freeform.
Oh, that's the new one. That was ABC Family. It's now called Freeform.
Oh, okay. ABC Family is now Freeform. Got it.
They were trying to get away from it being they're trying to get away from the family thing so they could do more original programming that could be a little more edgy or out there. Gotcha. So maybe that's a place you could, you know, really take off. But I can't see Star Wars on some second-rate network. I can't see it.
No.
But well, I could A&E, see it. Though. A&E could do it. A&E
A
could do it.
And E.
Hey, there's another one A&E did.
A plus E.
They did the Psycho thing with when he's young with his mom and that and the whatnot.
Yeah.
What's that called? Not American Psycho.
Bates Motel.
Bates Motel. Really good. There's your adaptation right there.
Good first couple seasons.
I haven't seen the third.
Yeah.
Is it Poopski?
It's Poopski. It was enough to make us not even care about the fourth.
That bad?
That bad. We stopped. We stopped watching and said, okay, we're done.
You're very forgiving, too. So if you thought that was bad, yeah. I'm not going near it.
I think we're ready. Let me go out on a limb. I think we're ready. The time is now for a Marvel/Star Wars channel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say crossover.
Oh, no.
Like a
network that shows Star Wars Rebels, that shows Clone Wars episodes, old Incredible Hulk episodes, old Spider-Man episodes, runs the movies, and shows these new things.
I think I agree. We have enough content. You could rerun just this. The Star Wars reruns alone would drive people to it.
Right.
Okay, that's the answer. The Star Wars, the Marvel Star Wars network.
Yeah, that's the problem. What do you call it?
The Marv Wars. Starvel. Yeah. That sounds like a sidekick in a bad 80s cartoon.
Dumber than Andy.
Yeah. Andy. Anyway.
Andy.
Oh, gosh, Andy.
I've accidentally locked Aunt B in the cell.
Oh, no, Andy, what do we do? I can't do a good Don Knotts. I don't know how. By the way, thanks everybody for your comments about our Rick and Morty open. Yeah. We weren't trying to do anything special there, but my gosh, I've gotten a ton of... You know what? I'm going to put out a challenge to the listeners. Anybody out there who's like a little animator person?
Yeah.
You want to take our back and forth from episode before yesterday. So what was that? Today's 1090. So it would have been 1089. If you want to take... It happened in like the first 5 minutes or something of the show.
1088 because we had our AM show was 1089.
Oh, you're right. That was today. You're right. 1088.
1088.
Take that audio of us doing Rick and or Morty. It's real short. And just make a little Rick and Morty routine out of it. That'd be fun.
We'll put that on YouTube and it will blow up.
I'd watch the shit out of that. All right. Let's.
Our Carmen will say, oh, wow, we could pay these guys a lot less and they could come in and do the show for us.
Yeah, they don't. Who needs them when they have us? I can drink things and burp between sentences and be Rick. Right,
exactly.
And you could be Morty. That guy is Rick and Morty. Think of what they could do if we were two separate people. They don't have to record it all separately. Just do it all at the same time.
Oh, see? Yeah. Yeah. See, half the time.
Yeah. He's like Smithers and Burns. He has to do both voices and he has to do them.
Right.
He can do them sequentially, but then they have to go back later and edit them over each other. So there's some cross arguing.
Like if it sounds good with one interrupting the other, oh, that didn't sound like a real interruption.
Yeah. But we can just go, Morty. And you can yell, no, Rick, I don't want it. You can do it at the same time. We got the answer for you there, Dan Harmon.
Cool.
Get your ass in gear, buddy. Here's this. Hold on.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Brian, let's do some news. Afternoon news, we'll call it.
Okay.
There's some things to talk about, and by gum, I intend to. Here they are. Oh, I forgot to say thanks to Dave Fuller. Like, I went off on a tangent. Dave Fuller sent us some audio clips that are super funny. They're the ones like, I like the front too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, that's him. And I just never give him credit, and I wanted to give him credit. So, Dave Fuller, you're the man. Thank you for the clips.
Cool stuff coming out of the Dave Fuller house.
That's right. Mike Mason also wrote in with a tweet and says, quote, the coffee beans are eaten by an animal called the civet cat, but it's not actually a cat. Will you try it now?
Nope.
No! I don't think this is all that confusing.
Yeah, you're missing. You're thinking the issue comes from a different place.
No, I don't care what animal it is. If you're going to poo, I'm not eating it. All right. Let's dive in here. Why do you think Margot Robbie thought her career was over after the making of Wolf of Wall Street?
I don't know, because I saw her and I said, I'd like to see her in everything and it, nothing.
And in the All Together, Brian said. That wasn't her, I guess. Body double, someone says. Right. Anyway, Margot Robbie's most high-profile role to date has something in common with the one that's made her famous, a Brooklyn accent. Naomi LaPaglia, the foul-mouthed, platinum-haired, lover-turned-wife, as she played Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street. That was a hard movie to watch, I found.
Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, I think it just was such the underbelly of shitty people that it really was hard to watch for me. I just struggled. Like,
there was not enough. There was nobody you could kind of root for because
you don't like anyone. They're all terrible, bad people. Amazing performances, incredible direction, crazy beats. Like maybe not. Maybe he probably hasn't directed a more energetic movie since Goodfellas or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm all credit where it's due.
No, I really enjoyed it.
I just didn't like anyone. They were all just everyone's just a dick. Like everybody.
But you're
gonna
run into movies like that.
Oh, I know.
Who's likable in Fight Club?
Well, let's see. That's a good question.
I mean, I guess Edward Norton, but...
I think that one's got kind of this weird... That twist makes it okay for me, for some reason. I know it's nihilistic and all that, but there's something about that the twist in that movie. We can say what it was, right?
I think so. I think enough time has passed.
I saw this in like 97 or whatever it was.
Well, you know what, though? No, I don't want to give the twist away, because if people haven't seen Fight Club...
Yeah,
it's the coolest part of that movie.
Yeah, it's basically he's Shyamalan that movie is what he did. I know there's a book too, so people already knew going in. But anyway, point is this: people were just grouchy, and I didn't like how they treated each other. That's all. I mean, sometimes once in a while, movies it's fine with me. Look, Breaking Bad, full of rotten people, but you could at least see these like shimmers of hope. You'd see, I don't know, Jesse Pinkman for all his faults was this
Skyler
tragic character you cared about
before she cheated on Walter.
Well, yes, but then also his son was an infinitely likable, nothing wrong with him. I felt really bad for Hank and his wife after a while. Like there was sympathetic moments even for some of the worst people in it. I felt that way about Chicken Man. Can't think of his name. Had owned the El Pollo chicken place.
Gus.
Even he had this like really sympathetic storyline. Like they painted full pictures of these characters. In Wolf of Wall Street it was Dick, 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 and Dick. All dicks. Everyone's a dick.
What about, like American Hustle? Same thing?
I haven't seen it.
You should see that.
Yeah, I want to. I've meant to and just have not gotten around to it.
There's a Wolf of Wall Street feel. I feel like there's a similar feel to both movies.
Okay.
Maybe not.
All right. Well, maybe.
It also sounded like you were in the beginning of Reservoir Dogs there for a second. Like you were in the diner with explaining about Madonna's Like a Virgin lyrics.
Who's Mr. Pink in this scenario? That's all I want to know.
Me. I swear.
I don't want to be at Mr. Pink. That was Buscemi, right? He was Pink?
Buscemi was Pink, yeah.
Such a wiener.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was sure that she was going to lose it after that. She's 26 years old, by the way. Had to travel much further across than Brooklyn to wield Naomi's hairspray and Harley Quinn's mallet. Born in Australia's Gold Coast, got her start in the Aussie soap opera Neighbours before venturing to Hollywood in 2011.
Holy cow, this is this is a Time magazine or Time.com article.
Yeah, they're into it.
And they misspelled the word mallet.
Yeah, they're into it, right? They don't know what they're doing over there.
Way
to go.
They misspelled mallet.
Mm-hmm. It's not M-A-L-L-O-T.
Right, it's not spelled like ballot.
Yeah,
it's like M-A-L-L-E-T.
E-T, yeah. Mallet.
Malheur. It's French.
It's a malheur.
It's a baseball bat. I guess she has a mallet too, but.
Yeah. Well, the comic, she's big time on the mallet.
Yeah, but in the movie, she's a baseball bat.
Does she have a mallet in the.
I don't know.
I've seen a screenshot or something where she.
Oh, really? Where she's holding the mallet?
She's like licking it or something. Some weird thing like that.
I thought that was a baseball bat, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right.
This may have been a dream I had. Not sure. The cancellation of her American show, the period piece Pan Am. Did you know she was in Pan Am?
I did. We watched that.
Yeah,
that
you
was
did.
A piece of poo.
See, this is the other thing. Brian watches things, gives them a chance.
I do.
So you Bates Motel lovers out there, it's not.
And it was a really cool, 70s, and had Christina Ricci in it, and then it just got so Shonda Rhimesy. Basically, it was like we have a quota about four people getting it on per episode, and.
Hold on, was it? I thought it was in the early 60s. No, I thought it was like Mad Men era, isn't it?
Maybe it was 60s. Yeah,
I don't know.
Late 60s, early 70s. I don't know.
I don't remember either. I watched like half an episode and said, "This isn't for me." They were trying to ride the coattails of Mad Men. There you go.
Jackalope, by the way, did find a picture where she's holding a mallet.
Oh, okay. Let's see that.
A mallet.
A mallet.
A mallet.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I've seen. And okay, she's not licking anything, but she's kind of doing a tongue thing. Here, guys. Just so you don't think I'm being weird. Here it is. See? There she is.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie holding her mallet. Her mallet.
She's lovely.
Yeah, she is lovely. She's a beautiful lady.
Especially with the Australian accent. That.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, yeah. You watched The Big Short, or not The Big, yeah, The Big Short.
Oh, right. She's in the tub talking.
She's in the tub explaining something.
I love that. I wish there were more. I wish there were more of those. And you don't remember what she was explaining, do you?
I remember her talking.
Oh, shocking. I can't believe it. Ryan does not remember what she said. Anyway, she was sure her career was over, and now it's not, so good on her. It's a lame story anyway. Hey, check this out. You think if you're the president of these states united, and you're a big deal, right? No matter what generation of president you are, no matter what kid you have, chances are, because you're the president, you're sending them off to like private schools, and you're like making them sweet gigs on the West Wing for summer jobs and things like that.
You know, maybe speaking at an elementary school or something.
Sure, they put you on a little speaker circuit for the summer. That's kind of going to be your little job or whatever.
Is the time for you to take charge.
Listen.
Put down those juice boxes.
Stand up with me. Yes. Well, first daughter Sasha Obama didn't get to laze around the White House this summer. She's a sophomore in high school. Mm. She got a job, like a real job. I thought when I read this, it was going to say, oh, she was hired to be Congressperson so-and-so's personal assistant. And blah, blah, blah. Doesn't work that way. She got a real job. She, at age 15, has been working at Nancy's Restaurant in Oak Bluffs, Massachusetts. It's pretty random, one employee told the Herald. The seafood joint on Martha's Vineyard is a regular snack shop for the Obamas, so Sasha's been helping out there ahead of their two-week vacation. Her parents are set to arrive Saturday through the 21st, according to the Vineyard Gazette. She's working at a restaurant. I think that's rad.
That is really cool.
Because we've all been there, man. It's good to put a 15-year-old doing hard shit. Even though it's, I know it's near Martha's Vineyard, it's fancy and everything else, but still, you got to wipe up stuff, you got to like clean a table, you got to take an order, someone's going to be a jerk to you. It's good life experience.
Yeah.
Like, what did Chelsea do? What'd she do?
I don't know what Chelsea did.
Nothing is my thinking. Probably was just lame.
Just a layabout.
Yeah, who else had kids in there? Like with the Kennedys, they were all pampered to death. None of them had real jobs.
Sure.
Bush didn't have any kids in there, did he? He had two daughters.
His two daughters.
Weren't they old and moved out, though, I think?
Oh, for some reason, I thought they lived in the White House.
Maybe they did.
They were in their teens.
And they were party animals, right? Wasn't that the deal with them?
Right,
one of them anyway was like super, she had a bunch of pictures of people snorting coke off her boob or something.
I don't know about that. Jenna, and I can't remember who the other Bush daughter
Gemma
was.
And Jameson. Those are the names.
Oh, jeez.
Gemma and Jameson.
don't Google it, people.
Yeah, don't search for this phrase. Gemma and Jameson Bush. Don't look those three words up together. Please don't.
Oh, Barbara was the other sister.
The one, wait, like named after his mom?
Yeah, named after his mom.
Oh, she's the Quaker Oats man.
Named after her grandmother.
Yes. Did you know that? She posed.
I think we've discussed this, yes.
Yeah, it was before her husband took on the presidency after Reagan left. She had a job taking photos of herself and sitting for paintings, in some cases, of her as the Quaker Oats man.
It's amazing.
You go buy a box right now, Barbara Bush looking right at you. It's great.
It's and then Wilford Brimley will hold it up and say,
diabetes.
I know this woman.
All right. What else? See. Let's see. Oh, Laura Bush. I forgot about her. What's she up to now? You know she's got talent. What's she doing?
Yeah, I don't know what she's doing these days.
Just hanging out with George Jr. Just like,
I assume so. Yeah.
You want to go get a
She's not working at a restaurant in Martha's Vineyard. I can tell you that.
That's true. I'm impressed, though. I think that's a good thing.
No, it is really good. Yeah.
They should do more of that. It's just as good for kids is all I'm saying. You know, totally. we're kicking Nick's butt out to get a job, and he needs
again, money. You don't want to be the guy who's sitting in the booth there and spills his coffee and say, you, come over here and clean this up.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
Oh, you're the president's daughter.
No, big whoop-de-doo. Come wipe it. You know, like, I hope they just treat her like everybody else. She seems like a very nice girl. By the way, the chat room says Laura Bush killed a guy. What the hell is that?
One person in the chat room says that.
Well, yeah, I don't want to
lump you. Explain yourself, Sidian.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That is the most, like, there are chemtrails in the sky. 9/11 was an inside job. We never landed on the moon. Oh, and Laura Bush killed a guy. Oh, did she really kill a guy with a car? I didn't know about this. It was like an accident?
It's a Family Guy thing.
Oh, well then, hey, world, I don't think that show's real. Best I can tell, not actually accurate. Anyway, whatever, they'll tell us. Oh, Snopes, here we go.
Oh, see, apparently in this episode of Family Guy, they repeat the line, Laura Bush killed a guy several times.
Oh. All right, Laura Bush's fatal accident. While a teenager, First Lady Laura Bush caused the death of a classmate in a car accident. True. Yeah. Heard a rumor concerning First Lady committed manslaughter at the time, backing over her boyfriend with a car. It's an all an accident. Well, at the time, what were we doing? Telling her that she did it on purpose and what an evil woman she must be because someone died? Man, leave her alone. What an awful thing to live through.
No kidding. That's a little rough to bring up, Family Guy.
Yeah, it's a little rough, Family Guy. What are you doing, Seth MacFarlane? What are you up to? what gives you your jollies? Moving on to Ozzy Osbourne. You've heard this whole lawsuit thing. His mistress, Michelle Pugh. What's that smell? Pugh.
Pugh.
Says she has no regrets. Love is never a mistake, she says. Michelle Pugh's extramarital affair with Ozzy Osbourne has now led to a high-profile lawsuit, but the hair colorist tells... Oh, she was a hair colorist doing the purple job on him, you know? I'll stop right there. says she has no regrets
also
about...
Also worked on his hair.
says she still has no regrets about the romance. Says, quote, I can't deny that I fell in love with a married man.
Is she British as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. She sounds just like Sharon.
It's a yes from me.
Maybe it's his eyesight. Maybe he didn't realize he was cheating.
Maybe. I don't know. It's a good point. It says here, she fell in love with a man that pursued me, but this narrative is out there that I am some groupie that went after him because of money. This is simply not true, she says. That is not the situation. On Wednesday, Pugh filed a lawsuit against Ozzy's daughter, Kelly Osbourne, for defamation, which is something you're supposed to do at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. If you're not defamating more than once a day, you need to increase your fiber.
Yeah.
Get some fiber in you. Intentional infliction of emotional distress and public disclosure of private facts. The suit stems from a series of angry tweets that Kelly sent about Pugh in May after learning of the rumored affair. In one, Kelly shared Pugh's direct phone number, and in another, accused her of elder abuse.
Wow.
Ugh. That's not good. How old is he?
You could charge Courtney Stodden with the same thing.
You could charge her with abusing me in some ways. Ozzy Osbourne is how old now? He is 67. He's older. That's not really elderly, is it?
Maybe no, I...
His condition, I don't know.
Yeah, I've never even heard of the accusation elder abuse.
I'm looking at a picture here. Here he is flipping people off. Let's put that one up, chat room. There you go. I like that. Throwing the bird.
Nice.
Yeah, it's classy.
I used to like elder abuse, 60 or older.
Okay. Wow, we're closer to that than we are child. If we were children being abused, which sounds just terrible, so I'm going to move on. Final story, and then we'll take a break. Florida woman. Boiling soup on her boyfriend's head while he slept. She is now charged with attempted murder. It's like in Game of Thrones.
I was going to just say, she is now the stallion that melts the world.
That's right. A Florida woman was arrested Tuesday after pouring hot boiling soup on her boyfriend while he slept. That is a bummer, dude.
Damn, no kidding.
Misty Childs, age 41. Dumped soup on a 45-year-old Levant Moss on his face, upper chest, and all in his sleep, and will be charged with attempted murder. Moss is in critical condition with several burns. Scalding water, or soup rather, went into his nose, his mouth, and all the way down his throat, says spokesman Rickshaw.
Rickshaw.
That guy's name is Rickshaw. Yep. That's a terrible name to have because people make fun of you. Anyway, so the issue here is not that the burning of the skin, but the possibility of infection that could cause death, says Rickshaw.
Right.
who then had someone pick him up by the arms and run away with him with a passenger in the back. Anyway, so there's that. Wow. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's some time with us talking about some apps, and also we're going to do Twitter questions, which is always fun for the PM edition of the show. But before that, Brian has Indie in the Middle.
I do. 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, the band Bauer is going to release their album Impossible Is Nothing, which was funded by their worldwide fan base via Pledge Music. They're synth pop masters, and they've won a huge number of fans through support shows with the band Snow Patrol, I Am Clute, and Turin Breaks. I've heard of two of those bands. I've never heard of I Am Clute, but I like it.
I Am Clute. Is that like an I Am Groot ripoff?
It must be.
All right.
They're a band from Manchester. Manchester. Greg Matthews, Neil Trepas, Lee Bradbury, and Michael Reed make up the band Bauer. Here is their song from their forthcoming album, Impossible Is Nothing, entitled Made the Change.
She blew a cover in the pouring rain. Nobody ever wants to feel the same. I saw it coming and I made the change. And all I can say is we won't be afraid of the dark. Yeah, all I can say is we won't be afraid of the dark.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That
80s, good 80s vibe to it.
Yeah. Reminded me of, I don't know, what did that remind me of? Like Flock of Seagulls.
Sure. Duran Duran.
Yeah, a little, very Duran Duran. That's a good one. Also just maybe a smidge of The Cure. It's good. I like it a lot. No one likes it. No one likes anything more than a smidge of The Cure.
Smidge of The Cure. It's better than a dollop of the disease.
That's right. That's absolutely right. All right, Brian,
Pound of prevention and a smidge of cure. I think that's the phrase, isn't it?
I think it is. I think we're going to go with that. We're going with that. We're also going to go with this. Oh, you hear that sound? Woo. Sounds familiar. Check this out, everybody.
App slappy.
Time to review some apps, stuff we've been using. I'm going to, I feel like I should do this game that I've been playing. Like, I was struggling during the song, kept going back and forth, like, should I do this other one? Should I do this other one?
Oh, it's funny because I've got two that I'm wrestling with as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm still sort of wrestling, but I'm going to go ahead and settle on one of these. So, when I was in my 20s, there was a game for the PlayStation 1 that was called Micro Machines something something. I don't remember the exact name, but it was a Micro Machines game. Mm-hmm. And it was branded Micro Machines, but it didn't really matter. The point was they were tiny little cars, and you would race on tabletops and kitchen floors and out in the yard. But it was always like, here's your tiny car, and there's a huge pencil to get around. Or here's a dog sleeping, and you have to jump over his tail. And it was one of the most intense, like, great multiplayer living room experiences of memory. I loved it. Absolutely freaking loved it. And good news, everyone. Good news. I have good news.
Okay.
The good news is there's now a Micro Machines game on mobile, and it's, I believe, on both iOS and Android. It is called Micro Machines. Hold on, I gotta get the full title. I always forget the last part. Micro Machines colon. Come on.
Micro Machines colon. That doesn't sound like a place you want to drive.
Here it is. I guess it's just Micro Machines. I thought they had a name attached to it. Anyway, chat room, you can kind of see it there. It's the only real complaint I have about it, which I'll get out of the way early, is that it's it got a bunch of free-to-play crap in it. But that
premium
being, yeah, which everything, you know, everything does, so, you know, and how do you even avoid it anymore? But I shouldn't say that. There's some great games that don't, but anyway, the point of my liking this is that there's this aspect of when you win races and stuff, you get to unlock these eggs, and inside these eggs are parts to different micro machines you can build new cars out of. And when you build those, then you can take them in and race them. And there's two modes, race mode and battle mode, both of which are both have like a campaign thing going on and actual real-time multiplayer in them. So the battle mode's real cool. It's like the old Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64 battle arena mode thing they had, where you had the three balloons and you had to pop them.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's a bit like that, a little bit different than that, but kind of like that. You're on top of a kitchen table. You're racing around forks and spoons and plates and food. Trying to kill each other with different weapons that you pick up and power-ups, their little health pickups. The race and the campaign stuff's a great way to go unlock all the parts and pieces you want to get the better cars. Of course, you can pay a bunch of money to get these things, but I haven't had to spend a dime, and I'm having a really fun time with it. So to be able to whip this out and quickly have a race or a battle against a bunch of randos on the internet has turned out to be really good fun. And that's cool. This is me mainly speaking to people who have some affinity for Codemasters and their previous Micro Machines games, because they really were something special. They were utterly fantastic. In fact, one day, if somebody would just make a port of those, modern them up to look good, I'd play the living shit out of that.
How controllable, like how fluid are the controls? Easy. Does it feel?
There's no gas. It's just turning.
Oh, nice.
Now, that's how the old ones were, too, is my memory.
So you are just going.
Going. Yeah, you go and you steer and you turn. There might be a break. You know what? I'm going to make sure that I remember that right. I can do a random here. Choose a boost. I don't want a boost. Okay, that's fine. All right, so it's doing a random thing. Searching for players, it says. Asking the spider that lives there. Expanding. Okay, there we go. They have these dumb search things. Okay, there's two Americans, a French guy, and a Swede in here. So it tells you what country everyone's from. These are all actual people. Here, let me get some volume on this shiznit. Oh, there we are. We're racing. Okay, a bunch of paper clips and a pencil, and looks like some pills I have to avoid. Yeah, you just have left and right. So you have left and right. You're trying to basically navigate your way over these. I'm driving over somebody's books, school books. There's a ruler.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is. I'm fascinated. You know how I am with, I like big things like giant pencils and phones and stuff.
Right,
I want more of that in my life. And this totally is one of the things that I really like about
it. Well, there's a Hungry Shit. Hungry Hippos arena.
There is right now. That is actually currently in the game. They patched it to put that in there.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of branded stuff. Like there's Nerf levels and some other things. The only problem with it, honestly, is just the free-to-play stuff. But you don't really need to do it. It looks really nice, super smooth and fluid, all 3D. It's kind of beautiful. I'm being shot at by a little car on a table here. I'm going to lose. That's okay. I'm going to fire a bomb off. Okay, I killed a guy. This is great. So if you like a good action game and you like kind of Mario Kart-y sort of stuff, then this is it. This will fit your bill. This will grab you by the wiener and not let go.
And great, I like I'm downloading it right now.
All right. So tell me, I'm going to lose that race. Tell me how you're, what do you find? What do you got?
Well, you know what? I'm going to do both. If you don't mind, I'm going to do both. And okay. I'll do them both. Do both of them really quick.
Yeah.
But first one, so one of them's a game. The other one is a memory tool disguised as a game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with the memory tool disguised as a game.
Okay.
It's called Tiny Cards, all one word, Tiny Cards. And what these are like, it's a little flash card game that you can download people's sets that they've created. There's a few that are created by the company themselves. Those are the best ones so far that I've found. But let's say you want to really memorize the countries of Europe and being able to identify the countries of Europe on a map before the upcoming Olympics. And of course, you can pick out Italy and the UK and Greece. They're all really easy to find, and Spain and Portugal. But maybe you don't know your Andorra from your Angola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how that goes. It's trouble.
Yeah. So these walk you through, and it's a very, it's a really cool strategic way of teaching you how to, to memorize these. First, you see the card, you flip the card over, you're like, okay, that's what that is. Then you go to another card, flip it over, see what that is. Go to the third one. Then it asks you multiple choice. Oh, which one is this? And it gives you three choices. You're like, oh, well, that's definitely Luxembourg. And you click Luxembourg. Mm. And then the next time that card shows up, you have to type in Luxembourg. Oh, and cool. If you miss it, it remembers it and it keeps track of which ones you get and which ones you miss. And it even has a little trigger to say, oh, it's been a couple days. You should probably go through and do these again. And it gives you a different test to help you remember all these things. And I love it. You know, being able to now instantly say, well, that's Lithuania right there. I got a tribute to doing these tiny cards things. So that one's called Tiny Cards. It's really, really good.
Tiny Cards. Okay. Nice. It seems to also scratch you're Mr. Trivia Man, and that seems like it's scratched.
There's areas where I know I need work, like the periodic table of elements. That's something that comes up often in trivia. Mm-hmm. And so being able to memorize those and get geography issues down. We had a thing in our last Trivia Bowl.
Yeah.
Where we had to identify all 14 countries in the world that end with the letter E. Mm. And, you know, there's some obvious ones like France and Ukraine, but then you've got to go with like Chile is another good one. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, being able to pull all 14 of those out of a hat would be really good.
I'm trying to think of I can't think of any others outside of Chile. What else is there? With an E at the end?
With an E at the end. We had big long list.
Zimbabwe? Ukraine, Zimbabwe, France. Right?
Zimbabwe is a good one, yes. Zaire no longer... Oh, no. Zaire's a country. Zimbabwe no longer is a country.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or one of those two is no longer a country. I can't remember. We only had one of them because the other one wasn't.
No offense to anyone in those
Mozambique.
Mozambique, yep. That's got it. How about... Yep. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
And there's not many, you say. How
there's
many?
Not many. There's only like 14.
Oh, weird. Right.
And I think we got 12 out of the 14.
Okay.
All right. So that's called Tiny Cards. Really, really good for memorizing stuff and teaching yourself something that you don't already know. And there's tons of people who've created all of these games that will do that. So, or all of these sets of cards that'll help you learn different things.
Cool.
The game I'm going to tell you about is really, really cool. It is, it kind of combines your RPG with your Fruit Ninja.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And it is called Severed.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. This is really, really cool. You are walking through, you're basically, your character is a woman who lost her arm, but still has her sword fighting arm. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to rescue her family. And as she's going through this area, and basically it's very simple controls. Left, right, forward, slash. And you go through this environment, and when you come upon a critter, an enemy, then you you slash at it. It's by the guys who made Guacamelee, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I love those guys.
And it's gorgeous, gorgeous graphics and a really, really fun adventure. You got to check it out. It's called Severed. I don't know if it's on all platforms.
It was originally on the Vita, and eventually, and everyone, when they played it on the Vita, they went, oh, this needs to be on mobile. What are you doing? Like, no one uses touchscreen on your Vita, so this is a bad place for this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this was released in April on the Vita, and then just last week on the iOS version.
Yep, coming to or already on PC. No. Is it on PC? Someone said PC on here. No, it looks like this is only touch devices. So yeah, you're getting this on your you know, anything with a capacitive touchscreen.
Right.
But I've heard really, really good things about this. I need to just get it. How much was this?
It's like $3.99, and it's so worth it.
Of course, I'm getting this then.
Yeah.
But look at the cool art style. It's very Guacamelee.
It says $6.99 on the website, but I think it's at a discounted price currently.
Still worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. You're slashing them. Does it look to me like there's a little bit of, what was that game where you slash the dudes? Oh, shit. What was that called? It was like a timing thing where you had to slash a dude and then parry with them. And there were three of them, these games.
Oh, it's the one they showed off when they were introducing the iOS Metal.
Yes. It was called
Kingdom
Monkey Man.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Tricks
right.
of a Future Period. Horse, horse nugget. Come on, chat room. Y'all know what this is. What's it called? Ah, frick.
Anyway,
you know what I mean. But I hear the gameplay is similar to that.
Kind of is, because you can parry and then counterattack and stuff like that.
And so you level up and gain abilities and all that sort of thing?
You level up, you increase the, as you fight enemies, your finishing move can be to slice off all their limbs or separate their eye from their face.
I'm in.
And once you do that, you can pick up those severed limbs, and those are the currency that you increase your other abilities with.
Oh, so that's the severed part.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in. I'm getting this game as soon as we're done.
So fun.
It looks really good. Are you playing on an iPad or phone?
I'm playing on iPad. Oh, on the iPad Pro, it is a dream.
Okay. I'd like a good dream.
Yeah.
I like dreams.
Dreams are good.
All right. Excellent. Well, look at that, you guys. Three apps today.
Three apps for the price of two.
Beat that. I got to write this down. Severed. Must get severed.
Severed.
Severed on iOS. All right. Okay, that's it for that. Hey, I know. I'm in one of those late afternoon moods, you know? Let's try this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The newest tweets.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Indeed, I do. Let's read some emails, things. Tweets. These are questions. Come to us.
Tweets from actual people.
That's right. The hashtag AskTMS is where we get them on Twitter, and I'm about to ask you some now. Here's one. Any chance of organizing another TMS 30-second film festival in the near future, says Ben Newbold.
Ooh.
That was really fun. We should do that again. When do you, when and how?
Let's you and I chat via text or something this weekend, or Skype or something.
Slack.
And come up with a good, or Slack. Yes. Duh, that's what it's kind of perfect for.
Slack.
And come up with something we'll announce on Monday.
Okay. I think like a fall film festival is a good idea.
Right. Yes.
Here's another one. Have you ever thought about starting a cooking podcast? As a chef, I would love to hear more food stories for Scott to get angry at. Well, Sean Dickinson.
Food stories for Scott to get angry at.
That doesn't seem like a very helpful podcast.
So
for
it's
people
like
who
a cooking
cook.
Podcast where you use civet coffee beans.
Yeah.
And
I'm not doing that. I have no time. I did a thing called Geek Food with Kim for a while, and then she kind of took it to her sister, and they did it for a while, and they've just both been busy. So there's a thing like that that sort of exists, but.
Yeah,
I'm terrible, dude. I don't cook. I don't make anything. Ramen's about as far as I get. Weird eggs.
You want a cooking podcast? Just go to HelloFresh.
Yeah, HelloFresh.
Made that last night and made a really good rice with roasted cashews and
Make a podcast vegetables. About you making HelloFresh. Just don't tell anyone that's what you're doing, so it looks like you're an amazing chef.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that.
Perfect.
Let's see here. What do we got here? That's another TV Star Wars thing. We've already talked about that. Here we go. Kevin Hall says, I broke my foot on Tuesday. What's your best guess on how it happened? He says if I'm right, or if we're right, he'll double his patron amount.
Wow.
All right, Brian, no pressure here, but what do you think?
He broke his foot. What did he do breaking his foot?
Yep.
He kicked something that he did not realize was stationary.
All right.
I'm going to say he was playing Pokemon Go. He wasn't looking where he was going, and he tripped on a fire hydrant.
Okay. All right, Pokemon Go accident. I'm going to say just so we can
Sidian says Laura Bush hit him with his car.
I'm going to say he tripped on his dog. So we have some coverage here. So I say he tripped on a dog, you say Pokemon Go accident. Kevin, let us know, buddy.
Cool. Can't wait to hear.
If here's one. Dean Bartlett says, if Trump...
Oh, Kevin, he's in our chat room. He says, Brian wrong, Scott wrong.
Dang it. All right. Find another reason to double your patron amount. Kevin Hall says, I broke my... Oh, no, that's him. Dean Bartlett says, if Trump got Putin to hack your email accounts, what state secrets would be found? I have no secrets.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
He'd find out that I have a subscription to... I'm trying to even think what would be embarrassing.
I don't even have anything embarrassing.
You'd find out that I bought tickets to the Great American Beer Fest for October.
Whoa, Brian, scandal.
I know, because I don't drink beer.
And you never go there. That's a thing you never attend every
year. Never do it, ever.
For me, it would be... Yeah. Oh, I know what it would be. The only embarrassing thing I have in my emails, literally the only thing, let me think for a second, would be the fake... Ashley Madison account some fan signed me up for. Because remember how they let you do, anybody
you
could do it?
You still can't get rid of that?
Yeah, because they don't do email confirmations, and I don't trust them to take me off a list if I click a thing that says click here to take me off a list.
Right.
So I just have it, I have it filtered now so it goes straight to trash, but you know, what are you going to do?
That's funny.
I have nothing to hide.
Yeah, I think the most embarrassing things people would see in my account are the things that occur on the Tadpool Blue Facebook group.
Yeah, they're already there. They're out in the public already.
They're already there,
All right, here you go. Let's see. Do we happen to know which weekend NTX will happen this next year? Yes, we are planning on the very last weekend of June is the current plan.
Mm.
So unless I hear any different, that is where we're working toward.
Cool.
For NX.
Same weekend as Denver Comic Con.
Oh, is it for real?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we were trying to avoid things like that. Dang it. Well, you know, you can't do it anymore. You can't do anything without bumping into
someone. There's cons every weekend,
I tried really hard and succeeded to not have anything land on Gen Con again.
Mm-hmm.
I avoided 4th of July, so people wouldn't complain about that, although it's dang close to it.
There's always going to be something.
There's always something. I didn't know Denver
Comic-Con. But I don't have a thing for Denver Comic Con, so I'm all right with...
All right.
I'd much rather do Nerdtacular.
Yeah, I would.
I'd
take that over our Comic-Con any day. All right, here you go. Here's another one. If you and Coverville had to live in one major city in WoW, what would it be and why? Says Kevin Hall. Oh, same Kevin.
In a major city.
I'd do Silver
Dalaran.
Moon. I'd do Silver Moon because Silver Moon's like but Dalaran's a pain to get to. You'd have to fly up there.
Yeah, that's true. It's like you've got to fly everywhere. Oh my God, you can't just drive somewhere.
Yeah, I just want to get on your hog and drive. I'm going to say Silver Moon City because no one's ever there. I like a nice empty city.
Nice quiet.
There's just brooms moving on their own and stuff. That's where I'd go.
Oh, that's true. Dalaran has portals, so I could easily get to any place I want to go just by going through a portal.
Well, the current Dalaran is kind of a dump, but the one that's coming out with Legion looks like a nice upgrade. So.
Right.
Stumpwater Jack. If podcasting had been around in the 80s and 90s, what are the three shows you would have hosted?
All right.
I can't
this
think
week
of
in Micronauts.
I love it, dude.
Voltron.
We have to give them names.
Right.
Voltron today. This week in Micronauts. Like, what else were we interested in then?
Let's see.
Transformers and you. Optimus Prime's place.
The Moonlighting Podcast.
What's up with Joel? A Northern Exposure podcast. I don't know.
New Waverville.
New Waverville is good. You can still done Coverville, I guess. Well, that's the funny thing is I probably would have found a way to do the things I'm interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'd still be doing both of these things probably.
Do you ever get follow-ups from the people who write into Therapy Thursday all the time? Morty.
Yeah, but you don't tell us about it then.
I do sometimes on the show. Like we've read some on the air before.
Yeah, that's true.
So it depends on what they're writing about. Like we've had some people write in and say, "You changed my life. I'm doing so much better and stuff." We'll read those. Sometimes they're just still struggling. I'll let you know how it goes. Blah blah blah, stuff like that. And a lot of that stuff I just forward to Wendy because I don't know how much those people want me to drag that stuff out on the air. But yeah, mm-hmm. We get all kinds of feedback on that. Let's see. Okay, Linky McScott says, "Okay, boys, how much would it cost for you to drink cat poop coffee on the air?" All of my shame and all of my self-worth. I'm not doing it. There's no way. Okay, you know what, Brian? Let's put a price tag on it. I will drink cat civet pop coffee for $1,000.
Wow.
Yep. I'll sip one. I'm not drinking the whole thing. I'll take a sip for $1,000. That's it.
I would do it.
Would you do it for less?
I would totally do it for less.
How much? Give me a number. Give me a number. Something that sounds good to you.
I would do it for $50.
$50?
$50.
Hey, you guys, you got $50.
Got $50.
All right. You heard it here first. I'll bet somebody takes you up on that. No one's going to take me up on my grand thing, which I'm counting on.
And I would do it for $50 donated to an Alzheimer's charity.
All right. I'll do it for $1,000 donated to Scott Johnson. I have a tooth I owe
on. Donated to my hospital bills.
I got
to
pay for this tooth still. Okay, boys. Let's see. Oh, that's the one I already read him. Yeah, I'm just trying a good one here to kind of round us out. It says, are we just going to ignore...
If you end up getting $1,000 out of this and I only get $50 donated to an Alzheimer's charity, I'm totally pissed off.
I'll tell you this. If I get $1,000 out of it,
yeah,
I will donate $500 of it to Brian's charity.
Well, if you get $1,000, Brian's charity is Brian all of a sudden.
the National Brian Association is getting
that's
that
right,
money.
That's right.
We'd figure out something fun.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kidding.
I can't believe anybody would ever. That's why I set it so high. There's no way someone does that.
Of course, of course.
If they do, all right, I'll lose my mind if someone does that. I just can't imagine it. All right, so final question. Are we going to ignore the fact that Crawl calls Uhura, Uhura?
Well, we ignore the fact that Scott calls
Uhura.
Yeah,
I say that. Well, I don't know if we ignore it, but yeah, we're allowing it. Like Jerry when he says...
Especially.
Yeah. Which he's continued to just lean into, which is fine. I don't care. Like we were talking on the show this morning with Wendy. It's like people get so wound up about stuff like that. It's like,
right.
It's not that big
right.
a deal, guys. It's just language. You're trying to get a point across. You made it. So what's the point?
Right.
Okay. I'll do one more. Oh, right. This is a good recommendation for an app. And I swear I talked about it on the show, but I didn't actually review it. Luke Johnson says, it's not my Luke Johnson, is it? I have a nephew named Luke Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't think that's him.
Didn't he live here in Colorado for a while?
Yeah, and he's in Vegas now.
That's right, yeah.
That's not him. I looked at a picture. Never mind. It's just a coincidence. Okay. Anyway, Luke Johnson, not my nephew, says... Oh, now I lost it. I shouldn't have clicked. Hold on. Oh, there it is. He says, submitted for your App Slappy segment. Politaire. Super fun and quick and stats. It's like solitaire. Brian, absolutely you should check out Politaire. In fact, I'm a little pissed that I haven't told you about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Politaire?
Yeah, and it's weird. It's for your phone. Do it on your phone. It can do it on your iPad, but I wouldn't recommend it because it's just perfect for just thumb flipping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it deals these cards. Let's see if I can get a match going
here. Oh, look at that. That's cool.
Oh, I heard a match.
Oh, I like that satisfying music.
Yeah, some pretty good sounds. Here, look at this. We're going to get a full. That was a flush. Yeah, get Politaire. It's totally up your alley. Awesome.
Nice.
It's really, really good. Right. Great time killer. Well done, everybody. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use it on the frequent, and we'll read more of these next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/TMS. Without that, there is no Thursday afternoon show. We are streamed at alphageekradio.com, although did I not do that tonight? I might have screwed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I may have never turned it over. I hope Todd saw it and did it. He sometimes does.
Oh, I think... People were saying that it was on a different channel on AGR, so...
So it's working? He must have done it. Weird. Anyway, so there's that, and also diamondclub.tv. Thanks for the video, guys. 801-471-0462 is our phone number. Leave a voicemail there. We'd be happy to play it on the show. You can find all our contact details at frogpants.com/TMS. As is the tradition, Brian will now play some song music for us.
Diamond Group. Yes, some song music.
Yeah, you know, song music.
Yeah, I got some song music for you.
All right.
This one's going out to Austin C. It says, dear host and better host, you decide who's who.
Oh, I don't like that. Hey, now, people.
Pitting us against each other.
Jeez, don't even try.
Oh, people were saying it appeared on Diamond Club, not on AGR. Okay, so never mind.
So I did screw up.
I originally was going to request this for my birthday, but sadly it was yesterday, so I had to request it for today. And yes, I'm sending this in the past, but writing it like I sent it today. Oh, well. This is for the 7th, so it would be Sunday. So I don't know if he was thinking it was going to be for Monday. I don't know.
Who knows?
Let's see. I can't remember. Anyways, I sent him my email a couple years ago, and it was back around episode 490-ish. When I first started listening, I was starting high school and raising pigs, and now, at episode whatever number it is, I'm still listening and starting my senior year of high school. So, since I must make a request, I'd like to hear the special song all of the guests of TMS made for the 500th episode of TMS, because that was the first memorable episode for me. And if that's not possible, and it's not, we're gonna save that for, you know, like 1,000th and 1,500th. It feels weird to play that on a non-anniversary style show.
Sure.
And if that's not possible, I'd like to hear the cover of Grace Kelly that host of that cover show played on the most recent edition of Acapella Town or whatever. And before I'm done, I have one question. How does it feel to know that so many teens like myself have grown up listening to TMS and other Frog Pants shows?
It gives me the willies.
We've ruined a whole generation.
Yep.
I love all the shows, guys, and please let me know if it's too late to get a fish sandwich.
It's always too late to get a fish sandwich. However, it's never too late to ask for the clip where the guy asks for a fish sandwich. Hold on. I have to find it.
Not too late.
Oh, that's Tom Merritt. Hold on. Too late.
Wait. Too late.
It's too late.
Where is the...
Look up fish.
Yeah, I thought I had. Oh, there it is.
Where are you, fish sandwich?
No, it's a guy.
Hey, there you go. Where are you, fish sandwich?
Gosh, dang it. That was elusive today.
It was.
Sorry.
You even had it earlier today.
I know.
All right, this is an acapella cover of the song Grace Kelly, originally by Mika. This is performed by Utah locals BYU Vocal Point.
Oh, very nice. Never heard of them, but that's awesome.
From their 2011 album, Back in Blue, Maximum Acapella, this is BYU Vocal Point and Grace Kelly.
I want to talk to you. The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again. Do I attract you? Do I repulse you in my queasy smile? Am I too nerdy? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? I can be wholesome, I can be loathsome. Guess I'm a little bit shy. Oh, why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I tried to be like Grace Kelly. Oh, but all the looks were too sad. So I tried a little Freddy. I got identity mad. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky. I could be purple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. Gotta be green, gotta be mean, gotta be everything more. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you walk out the door? How can I help it? How can I help what you think? Hello, my baby, putting my life on the brink. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you like yourself? Should I bend over? Should I look older just to be put on your shelf? I tried to be like Grace Kelly, oh, but all the looks were too sad. So I tried a little Freddy. I've got identity, I'm not. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky. I could be purple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. Gotta be green, gotta be mean, gotta be everything more. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you walk out the door to say what you want to satisfy yourself? I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be hurtful, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. Gotta be green, gotta be mean, gotta be everything more. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Life's a joke. Shit burn!
That's all I could find.